Greetings in the name of Jesus this morning. As we were looking at the things of the new heaven and the new earth, things that will be there, there's one thing that I don't understand exactly how, well, lots of things, but the thing that caught my attention there, the thing that will be in the new heaven or the new earth, was verse 6 says, he said unto me, I am done, or it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. I hadn't really looked at these verses before I began studying. I want to look at the living water. So we see that in heaven there will be this fountain of water of life. But I think this fountain of the water of life is also here available for us in earth. It's one of the things that we can enjoy here that we also will continue to enjoy there, this fountain of living water. You can turn with me for our text, John chapter 4. We'll read chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel. Thank you. Somewhat ironic talking about water. Anyway, that's what I need. Thanks. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Stop reading there. We see this water. This is a well of water springing up. Or we could say it's more than just a well of water that's down there and has to be drawn up. This water of life, living water that we're talking about, is a spring that flows up. It's like an artesian. And I have a fascination with springs. I'm not sure if it's because of where I grew up. Those of you who know Fort St. John area or up north know that it's intriguing when you come down to a land that has springs there. Dig a hole in the ground, more likely to hit natural gas or crude oil than good fresh water. But here, In the Kootenays, it's amazing you see these springs of natural water. Build a new road, and just last summer we were on a block, put a new road in, and within a few days water started pouring out, and the ditch was half full of water just from this little spring side of a hill. Go up the Bombay Pass, in the second passing lane there in the middle of the pavement, middle of the summer, there's always water running down from there. Amazing where water pours out. These are just natural illustrations of wells or springs springing up. And this water of life that we're talking about is a source of life-giving water that will never run out, will never dry up. And it is fresh water, sweet water, life-giving water. First point here, we know that this water here that this woman was drawing from was a well that Jacob had digged. Jacob was known for digging wells. And this was a source of water that kept these people alive. But we want to look at the nature of this living water. Our Lord calls it living water. It is living in the sense that it is life-giving. You know, we drink water to keep ourselves alive, to keep ourselves hydrated, and we know people have been known to go long, long time without food, but without water, not so much. We need water to sustain physical life, but that's all it does. It does not give life. It does not produce life, or the way that this life does. Physical water keeps us alive, but it can't give life, can't make alive. This water of grace and truth, which came from Jesus Christ, is the water which saves and satisfies. In Ephesians 2, verse 8, we have a verse, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." It is a gift of God. And this grace that we have received through faith is not something that we can ever dig for ourselves. It's not a well that we can ever find of our own accord. But it is freely given, available to every human being. And as we said, it not only given to refresh, but to regenerate. The elements of eternal light and life are in it. This life produces the possibility for us to be able to not only live in this life, but then to also be able to enjoy that future heaven and new earth that we talked about this morning. We know that there have been many people who have searched for the fountain of eternal youth in ages past, supposedly trying to find a place where they could find water that would help people to remain young or youthful. And apparently it's not necessarily why Ponce de Leon was searching or why he came to the New World. But that has been attributed to him, that he came to try to find the source of the fountain of youth. But nevertheless, people would like to be able to find something that would keep us young physically. But we have, in a sense, available to us as a fountain of life, a fountain of youth, something that will keep us alive eternally. Second point, we want to look at the source of this living water. He said, "If you knew this, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee." Jesus himself is the distributor of this water. He is the source of it, and he is the distributor of it. In John chapter 17, I'll just turn to that, John 17, verse 2. read verse 1 as well. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. So Jesus is the source of this life, and he is the one that has been given the power to distribute that to all that ask for it. And Revelation 22, verse 1, it says, and he showed to me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. So it proceeded from the Lamb, yet that's what I don't understand, how proceed from the Lamb. I guess it will continue to proceed from the Lamb even in eternity, even though already now we have that available to us here. The original source of this grace and truth is the generous heart of the eternal God, and it has been manifested, or the word manifested we could say means to make evident or certain by showing or displaying. So it has been made certain to us, or it has been displayed to us in the life and suffering of the Lamb. Now, Jesus showed us this original grace and truth of this living water in himself. Now, the third point, I want to look at the efficiency of this living water. And like we said, we know that it quenches thirst. Says, whosoever shall drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. And this woman, I think, had a hard time understanding this when he was talking about this. He was here at this well that they came to daily to get this water. And we know for ourselves, we continually always think about sorts of water. We now, in this day and age, we have water at our taps, but at times we don't, and at times we maybe use bottled water, and it's something we always think about, is to go back and refresh our cisterns, in a sense. But this water quenches thirst, and it's continually there. Those who have drunk from this water and continue to drink from this water that Christ gives never thirst for the muddy waters of sin again. And they also shall never thirst for any other drink, neither in this life nor in the life which is to come. I think we'll talk a little more about that later, but you know, at times we wonder, well, why, if this living water is available for us, why do we then at times continue to go drink at other cisterns and other sources of water, things that bring us death and not life? But I think the problem is maybe we didn't continue to drink so much or continue to live in this living water as we should have. Number two in this point, it becomes a spring within. When anyone drinks this water or receives this grace and truth offered in Christ, there's open up in them a fountain of new life and blessing. Or we could say it's a secondary source within the heart of continuing joy and satisfaction. And it's hard for us to maybe, when we think of it in the sense of a spring or literal water. But this life-giving water that flows from Christ produces within us also a spring then that continues to give us life from within, not from ourselves, but opens the valve from him to flow through us so that we can also be a source of somewhat of refreshment to others around us or those that are lost that we can minister to as well. Every saved soul is a stronghold for God, and although constantly besieged by the sins and sorrows of earth, have an unfailing source of supply within. As we think of us being a stronghold for God, or we could say maybe like a castle, and in ancient times, when enemies would try to besiege a city, the greatest thing, I mean, besieging a city was basically to cut the city off from their food sources. And if they could do that long enough, obviously they could conquer the city. When I was in Europe, we saw some of those castles built up on the mountain, and they weren't just built any old place, but they were built at a spring of water, a source of water, because as long as a city, a stronghold, has a water source of water flowing from within their walls, they can continue to survive for a long time. If the spring flows through from the different source, the enemy can contaminate that spring and shorten the time that the city can stand or the stronghold can stand. But as we think of ourselves being a stronghold for God, if we have this source of life from within us, it also helps us to be able to be victorious and to live for him. And even though Satan continually tries to besiege us, tries to cut us off from God by attacking us and bringing other things within or trying to starve us out, in a sense, he's powerless as long as we have that source of life flowing from Christ through us, within us. This fountain flows on forever, springing up into the ocean of eternal life and praise in the presence of God and the Lamb. We talked about that earlier, but this fountain, it's a blessing that we can have this new life, this life from Christ, that source of that life will also be with us in heaven and in the new earth as well. Next point is the conditions of it. Verse 10. It says, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him." The conditions are knowing and asking. He won't just force this new life on us, on anyone, but we need to know and ask. As soon as we know that what Christ has given for us, given to us, this knowledge should surely lead us to asking and receiving. How will sinners ask of him the greatest of all gifts if they don't know that the gift of God is eternal life? Do we portray this to them? I think the challenge for us, why would people try to find this new life in Christ? Yeah, we know everybody has a need in their hearts, but if they don't know how Christ can provide this living source of life within, they won't ask, and so it's up to us to share this with them. If we truly know and experience the gift of God, we won't drink from the streams that have their source in this sin-poisoned world, and which can never reach down to the thirst of a human spirit. Do we truly know and experience this gift of God? Well, so many times we think that there is a way to find meaning in life from other sources. Maybe it's through, we could go down the list. We know that There are so many things that Satan would have to distract us, but sin poisoned world has many other fountains of water, or wells of water, we could say, poisoned water, that can't really give us anything that is lasting. And if we truly experience this gift of God, we won't have a thirst for those things. But it requires us to continually going to that source of the true life-giving water. Ask and ye shall receive. Number five, the freeness of this, of it. It says, whosoever drinketh of this water. And in Revelation it says, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The key word is whosoever will. It's free for everyone. Christ himself as the fountain of living water is the gift of God to a world dying of thirst that is unquenchable apart from him. So we see that this infinite grace of God is not limited. There is not a certain amount of supply here from this fountain of life, but it is available there for whosoever will, for all of mankind, if they would just ask, if they would just desire it. It was the first and last word used in connection with the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whosoever. We know John 3, verse 15 and 16, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And just go to Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. It says, let him that is athirst. And I think we have all been athirst. We are all athirst at times. And whoever is athirst, whosoever will, let him take of this water of life freely. It's there available freely. It's not something that needs to be worked for or bought or anything like that. So does your soul thirst for these waters as a hart panteth after the water brooks? No, in Isaiah 55, verse 1, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye. This invitation is available for us. And in John chapter 7, verse 37, you don't need to turn to this if you don't want to, but this one verse here. And in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. It was on the last and greatest day of the feast that Jesus stood there and proclaimed this life-giving water available for all. So in conclusion, in relation to this life-giving water, can we become used to being in a state of thirst? I think we do that at times physically. We probably, most of us, know that we don't drink enough water physically. We can become used to being fine with not drinking enough water. We think we're fine. Spiritually, do we also become used to living in a thirsty state? I think we do. Try to take some of this life-giving water from Christ, but can become used to not living with as much of it as we should. And what does that do in us? I think it probably makes us vulnerable to becoming maybe thirsty for the sources of water around us, things of the world as well. Another one is, if we are thirsty, it may be a sign that we are not living in Christ. If we find or feel that there is something missing in our life, obviously, probably a sign that we're not one with Christ as we should be. And we need to again make ourselves available of that life-giving flood of water that he has available for us. If we are truly satisfied with the life-giving water of Jesus, then we will also want others to experience this too. And we won't be able to keep from sharing this good news with those around us. And if we are living our lives with this water flowing through us, we will be energized, just as if we have had a drink of cold water after working outside in hot sun. We are energized and we have that. In the same way, if we are living with this water of life flowing in us, we also will be energized spiritually. And it will make life worth living for us. So it will make us want to share this wellspring of water with others as well. Let's kneel for prayer.